rest of the story. Jim was a country boy in Cleveland, 17-year-old, fresh off the farm, eager for adventure. The most exciting thing that he could think of was to join the crew of a steamer on the Great Lakes, but quickly it became clear that no captain was going to hire a boy who had never been on the water before, who in fact could not even swim. So, Jim grew determined to get the experience he needed, even if it meant doing something that was not quite so exciting, and that's how Jim wound up as a teamster on a barge on the Ohio Canal. Now, you've seen pictures of those canal boats towed by teams of horses trotting along the bank. In those days, canaling was at the bottom of sailing, and driving the team was at the bottom of canaling. It was the sort of life that attracted rough, often unsavory young men, but Jim saw it only as paying his dues, the means to an end. What with the barge lurching and the guide rope jerking, Jim fell into the canal a lot. 13 times he fell into the canal, and each time the captain fished him out. Each time he was admonished, "You better learn to swim, boy. Someday when you need me, I won't be around." That someday arrived one midnight. This time Jim was alone on duty. When he watched the guide rope draw treacherously taut, the boy was just about to heave a double coil into the water when the barge gave a violent jolt, and suddenly Jim was flying through the air, head over heels. Before he knew it, the cold, black Ohio Canal was closing in around him. Dazed and tumbling through heavy nothingness, Jim reached in all directions for anything. His hands found a stretch of rope from the loose coil he had been about to throw, but the coil was still loose. Its loops floated freely around him. The water seemed to burn as Jim sank farther, desperately clutching at the limp cable. "Oh, God," he cried inside, clearly as though he had shouted it aloud. "Oh, God, help me." And at once the tangled line resisted him. Somehow there was strength left to pull on that now secure rope. He pulled himself to the surface, and gasping, he pulled himself to the deck of the barge. Uncharacteristically, in fact, as never before, the cable had kinked and snagged on the rim of the canal boat, and Jim was willing to accept that as luck until he had investigated for himself. So Jim stood on the deck, throwing that rope toward the point at which it had snagged. He had thrown it 100 times when he stopped counting, and yet not once could he reproduce the phenomenon that had saved him. The next morning, Jim related all you've just heard to the captain. "I know now," he said, "that it was God who spared my life, and he didn't spare it for me to throw it away out here." So Jim left the Ohio Canal, abandoned his steamboat dreams, and returned home to get a proper education. The Lord, he was sure, had something in store for him. He just knew it with all his heart, and he vowed that he would prepare himself, and he did. Now, the history books dutifully relate Jim's eventual accomplishments as this nation's 20th president, James A. Garfield. But now I hope you'll never see his picture on a classroom wall without recalling the teenage canal hand who fell from grace and reached out for a hand in the darkness and was saved. For now you know the rest of the story.